You know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak, and slow to wrath. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we have today the epistle of St. James the Apostle. And I would like to make a few broad reflections upon this epistle, but also in particular to talk about the virtue of restraining the tongue, which comes up repeatedly in this epistle. This was written by St. James the Less, and by the way, as you know, there's St. James the Greater, St. James the Less. Why the difference between these two? Well, they had to be told apart somehow. And it may have been something as simple as St. James the Greater was taller. St. James the Less was shorter. But St. James the Lesser was the one more closely related to Jesus. He a cousin of our Lord. He was also the bishop of Jerusalem, and he was martyred. He was pushed off of a precipice, I believe. He was highly regarded for his authority, and we have an epistle written by him. And interestingly, this was a book of the Bible that Martin Luther, the great rebel, did not like. He didn't like it because there was doctrine in this epistle that directly contradicted his faith alone teaching. As you know, he said, you don't need to do any works, just believe and you are saved. Well, we find a direct contradiction to Martin Luther's belief, because St. James says in chapter 2, verse 24, you see then, my brethren, that a man is saved by works and not by faith alone. He also says faith without works is dead. So, shockingly, Martin Luther even called this epistle of St. James an epistle of straw. How dare he? He wanted to exclude it from the Bible, but his followers said, you can't do that. Of course we know he can't do that. Nobody can, and how dare he rebuke this revealed word of God in any way. Also in the epistle of St. James, we read about the sacrament of extreme unction. Is any man sick among you? Let him call in the priests of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Some of you may have already experienced the sacrament of extreme unction when you were in danger of death. How comforting that is to receive not only confession and or the sacrament of penance and Holy Communion, but the sacrament of extreme unction. And get this, one of the effects of extreme unction is that it sometimes heals the danger of death. I'm sure that every priest has a story or two to tell of how somebody was almost certain to die, and then they received the sacrament of extreme unction, and that danger of death cleared up. Then they were restored to at least some degree of health. So it has that effect if God wills it. So one of the seven sacraments, something else that the Protestant revolutionaries rejected, the seven sacraments established by our Lord. But today I'd just like to reflect on St. James teaching us how to restrain our tongue. And we hear these words today, be swift to hear, be willing to listen, be slow to talk, be slow to wrath. the sins of anger so often happen in connection with our tongue not being bridled. Angry words, vulgar words, these things unfortunately go together. So St. James is teaching us to bridle our tongues, to practice the virtue of silence. There's that old saying, speech is silver, but silence is golden. So let's reflect on some of these teachings, and they're, you know, as we see it pretty much throughout the epistle here. I have it, the Holy Scripture here in front of me. There's only five chapters, but again, St. James will find it important to remind us of restraining our tongues and practicing that virtue. By the way, whenever we practice any particular virtue, one of the wonderful things to realize is that we're indirectly practicing other virtues. It's kind of like a person wants to build up strength in his arms, and let's say he's, you know, really pumping iron, as they say, and as he's doing that, indirectly, the other muscles of the body are getting stronger as well. So, by analogy then, when we work on one virtue, indirectly we're growing in other virtues as well. So this was in chapter 1. You know, my dearest brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Verse 26 of chapter 1. If any man thinks himself to be religious, not bridling his tongue, but deceiving his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So in other words, to become holy, we're going to have to work on this virtue of silence. Our religion would be vain if we didn't do that. And then in chapter 2, so speak ye and do so as being judged by the law of liberty. For judgment without mercy to him that hath not mercy, and mercy exalts itself above judgment. And it's a little bit later on where he says, you see, then a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. It's chapter 3 that St. James really goes on to talk a lot about, again, the tongue. For in many things we all offend. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. That to me is one of the most far-reaching or remarkable verses of Holy Scripture. Of course, all of it is, but he says, if you never commit a sin of the tongue, he says, you are a saint. So, if we're not saints, obviously that means we must at least at times commit sins of the tongue. And then he makes some comparisons of what the tongue is like, some analogies that he draws. He compares it to the bit in the horse's mouth. He says, with the bit, you're able to lead that horse around. So he says, if we can control our speech, not fall into sins of the tongue, then we can control ourselves better. So that's his first analogy. Behold also ships, whereas they are great and are driven by strong winds, yet they are turned about with a small helm, whithersoever the force of the governor willeth. Even so, the tongue is indeed a little member and boasteth great things. So he compares it to the rudder of a ship. Overall, it's not that big compared to the large ship, but that one rudder can decide where that whole big ship goes. Again, he's comparing the tongue to the rudder of the ship. He goes then into the next analogy of fire. Even so, the tongue is indeed a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how small a fire kindleth a great wood. I can't help but think of the Smokey the Bear, you know, commercials. You know, he's holding one match and there's a whole big forest behind him, all burned up because of what that one little match started. So it just, but St. James is basically giving us this imagery as well. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is placed among our members, which defileth the whole body. So he gets very, very eloquent here. And again, telling us there is real virtue to be found in using our tongue properly. Again, some more from chapter 3. But the tongue no man can tame, an unquiet evil full of deadly poison. By it we bless God and the Father, and by it we curse men who are made after the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So I think we can see very well the point that St. James is making of how much virtue is involved. And I mean, what a gift we have of speech. What is it about the tongue that's so amazing? Because we are conveying something that's in our mind, which nobody else can read. So we are revealing ourselves. We're sharing what's in our minds. And the tongue can be used for such great things, but can also be used for such bad things. Again, St. James makes that reference about being slow to anger because the tongue is so often involved in the sins of anger. Those words come out that later on we have to regret so much that we said. So St. James gives us so much to reflect upon today. And may I close with a reference to our Blessed Mother, she who, of course, was perfect in all the virtues. And there's not much that Our Lady said that's recorded in Holy Scripture. Of St. Joseph, there's not a single word recorded that he said. Of Our Lady, just a few things. We're told that she pondered things in her heart. So it implies that she prayerfully and silently, you know, shared things with God in prayer. But anyway, the point I wanted to make is, you notice in the picture of our Mother of Perpetual Help, by the way, it's being worked on right now. It shall return to the back of our church once the shrine is being re-gold leafed. But we notice the mouth of Our Lady is small. It's smaller than a mouth would normally be. But it's not in a unbeautiful way. But St. Luke is reputed to have painted that picture of Our Lady. He painted her eyes to be big and her mouth small. What's the spiritual message there? Her eyes are open to looking for opportunities to practice charity, to do good to others, but the mouth shows that virtue of silence that she cultivated. So a lesson from that beautiful image, that inspiring image of our Mother Perpetual Help. May we all grow in this virtue of holy silence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.